This is a West Wimmera Health Service podcast. Presented by me, Brigitte Muir.
Farmer wants a healthy life.
WorkSafe compliance is not everyone's cup of tea, right? Today we meet someone who can't get enough of it. John Darcy, OHS and workers' compensation expert, thrives on helping Victoria's farmers make their farms not only compliant, but safer. He is a consultant with the Free of Charge Making Our Farms Safer project. And what does he do when he's called to a farm?
Well, there's two services we provided through the funding we provided with the Department of Ag. We can do safety audits on farms. An audit would infer that the farmer has some paperwork in place, has some OHS policies, procedures, they're consulting with their employees and keeping detailed records. And so if you're going there on the basis of an audit, you're looking at that material. With the vast majority of farmers, when they ring me up and say, I want an audit, that they often respond, what paperwork? To which I respond, you don't need an audit, you need a consultancy. That's where we actually start, often from a zero base, sitting down with mum and dad small business and talking them through what they need to know. So this morning, the farm I went and visited, a sheep property, was with the father, who was in his early 70s, and his son. I spent a good 2.5 hours with them at the dining table, and then we did a walk around, which took about an hour and a quarter or so.
Okay, so you look at everything on the farm as far as safety goes?
Yeah, so our main walk around is around the, obviously, the farm buildings that are in close proximity to the house. So we will start typically in the workshop area where the tools and the grinders and the acetylene equipment and a lot of the things they do, the hands-on type work. We will go into the shearing sheds, cattle yards, if it's on a cattle property. We will go into the chemical stores and look at the adequacy of the chemical storage. We'll look at their tractors. We'll look at their machinery. When we go around for a walk around, we're finding things that we will see typically as first aid kits being inadequate or fire extinguishers out of date or not sufficient, grain augers without guards on them, PTO guards missing from attachments for tractors and machinery. So our primary objective is looking at the things that, if they had a visit from WorkSafe, what would an inspector possibly pick up on? And what might an inspector issue them with a notice for? And we'll put extra emphasis on those things to say to them, look, you really should fix that. When we do the walk around, that's where they take the pen and paper with them and the writing pad and write down their to-do list.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like a very important thing to do to guarantee safety on the farm.
I'm passionate about small business. From my previous working experience with employer associations, I've been with about 1,500 small businesses over 15 years, and I realise that it's very hard for people running a business. With OHS, they're not going to go off and do OHS training courses for days or weeks on end. So the time we spend with them at the dining table often for many is as much training or knowledge as they're ever going to get. So it's really, really important. So the law doesn't differentiate between small or large. If something goes wrong, they're exposed. So we want to try and obviously protect them, but help them to understand what their legal obligations are.
Well, safe. Inspectors can actually turn up at the farm at any time and check if everything is okay?
It's a very good point. So to the first point, yes. WorkSafe have a legal authority to enter any place that is a workplace on any given day. And WorkSafe run those sorts of TV advertisements from time to time saying, well, yes, we can visit your workplace on any day. And they don't have the time nor resource to consult with the employers about all of their OHS duties, which are fairly wide-ranging and encompassing. Often they'll limit themselves to just focusing on a couple of hazards. You could have one inspector rock into a farm and see a few hazards, possibly issue notices. You could have another inspector rock in the next day and find three or four other things. But if something goes wrong, the prosecution arm of WorkSafe would say, but you ought to have known about those things because that was your legal duty as an employer. I don't believe that people set out to hurt anybody. I do believe that they honestly and genuinely, sincerely believe they provide a safe workplace. But often that's instinctive. It's in their mind or in their hearts. And often they have nothing to show for it. When we talk about the Act and regulations, we're talking about an Act which applies to all employers, performance-based legislation that just outlines the key rules. But that's backed up by them by regulations. And there's plant, manual handling, chemical safety, asbestos, noise. And farmers are expected to know that detail.
What if it's just a one-person farm?
So the OHS laws apply to employers' duties to provide a safe workplace for their employees. and subcontractors and also other persons being members of the public, and even to potentially even families. Yes, if a subcontractor, for example, if when you talk about self-employed sheep farmers, for example, often they'll have just them or their family who run the farm, typically for the most part of the year, but then they'll bring a shearing crew in for a week or so. Employers have the same duty of care to subcontractors as they do their own employees in relation to matters over which they have control. An employer can defend themselves on the basis they employ suitably qualified contractors to bring in specialised skills, for example, spreader companies who do work out in paddocks and the like. They bring in the equipment, they bring in the materials, and the farmer can rely upon their expertise. But with shearers, for example, well, the farmer provides the shearing sheds. The farmer provides the lunchroom, the amenities for them, the first aid kits. They just come in and bring their combs and their shears and get to work. But the farmer has a much greater capacity to control their work. So those workers, we'd be talking to the farmer about the importance of doing an induction, just running through their policy procedures when the workers start, taking them through their emergency procedures, procedures for reporting of accidents, and making sure the workers know what the safety expectations are and also the things that the farmers put in place to make sure that they are safe.
I wonder how often farmers actually do inductions when they get a new crew in, because in my experience, accidents happen and familiarity breeds contempt. So you don't really, once you've done it once, maybe you'll think, oh, well, they'll remember, you know. But you have to do it every time you've got someone in, do you?
It's not something you do once. It's something you do continuously. So one of the things you'll cover at an induction would be your policies and procedures. We also encourage the employers that you don't just use them once, you use them periodically, systematically throughout the year within the business. But the induction is the most critical time of all. And we explain to the employer, the farmer, and they need to recognise that they are both. And to the employer, we explain to them that one of their primary legal duties is a duty to provide adequate training, instruction and supervision. And that training and instruction on day one, when someone starts, and especially young workers are more important than others, perhaps, although we can't differentiate, but with young workers, instilling that confidence in them, that you take safety seriously, you're looking after them, but telling them what they need to know. And that would go, for example, though, to even explaining to them a bullying policy, having a bullying policy. Yes, young worker, we recognise the vulnerability. You're going to work with older workers. Have the confidence to come and talk to us. Should you have any concerns, here's our policy. And that instills a good workplace culture where they walk in confident, they know that the employer is serious about their safety and can have that confidence that if there's a problem, they'll come to the boss and tell them.
It's good to hear it's not just physical safety, it's also mental safety.
Oh, indeed. The law is quite clear on that, and that's actually a big area of focus at the moment. So at this moment, WorkSafe are putting out papers to union and employer representatives on regulations for psychological health. So it will become part of OHS law. It has been. It's been captured under the Act, but now specific, more detail in regulation. And regulations probably won't be far away also to encompass sexual harassment. Irrespective of whether those things have been prescribed in law as it was performance-based, we've always talked to the employers about the importance of having bullying policies, sexual harassment policies. But I'd probably stress to employers now, those things are probably going to become more critical.
And people tend to talk more about those things that happen to them these days with social media and everything. So it really does pay to be prepared for any eventuality.
And to the notion in terms of a physical accident, the complacency or the it'll never happen to me type attitude. Similarly, a lot of employers would be oblivious to the risks of having a mental health complaint or a bullying type claim in their business. Now, I've helped with my experience with OHS, but also workers' compensation. I've helped employers with work cover claims for bullying, even in businesses with 5-6 employees, where unbeknownst to the boss, two workers may just not get on, and one may just push the envelope just a little bit too far, where suddenly then you have someone off with a severe medical illness. But employers often overlook the importance of talking about bullying, harassment, discrimination. So you know, you need to factor in both those conversations.
How often do farmers ask for an audit?
It's not a question of how often so much as can they. So that would be the first thing, and strongly encourage that. With the services that we provide, they are free to all Victorian farmers, so not just VFF members. The contract we have with the Department of Ag, as I said, for many businesses, they would take that service up once. When we meet with them, Because of the breadth of detail we go through, we explain to them the best way to manage safety is with a plan. And we give them a roadmap to work to based on all the advice we give them, and an easy to follow handbook, and give them all the policy procedure templates free of charge. And we suggest to them, put a stake in the ground, have a crack at going through that 6 month plan. But we also say to them, though, if it takes you 12 months, that's okay. But then what we do is we call them up after 6 months to say, how are you going? And would you like us to come back? I've been with some businesses over the years where I've been with them 2, 3, 4 times. That's a good thing. One of the challenges we have is a reluctance from some employers, a fear. Well, the first is they don't have to have any concern whatsoever that we're going to be critical in any way, shape or form of what they do or don't have, because that's the point. They shouldn't be concerned about anything getting back to WorkSafe. WorkSafe love what we do and are very supportive and very happy that we're able to do what we're doing. There's no conflict of interest there, so that should address any misapprehensions. But really, it's just the confidence for a farmer to say, I'm going to have to put that stake in the ground, call and start the journey.
Exactly. It's never too late to start that journey.
No. Every time we get a phone call, we're happy to take it and we get the diary out and make it happen. Myself and Richard are covering the state from top to bottom. So I looked at my odometer on the car and I've done about 35,000 k since the start of the year.
Crikey.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Victoria. We're also running a lot of town hall events. I would say a lot of the important work is actually engaging with the masses where we can get them in a room together, because we do a lot of education in those spaces as well on specific issues.
Where can people find information on those sessions that you run in towns?
We publicise them through radio and media channels as best we can.
Is there a Facebook page or Twitter?
There is, yes. So we have the Making Our Farm Safer page on both Twitter and Facebook, and I strongly
Making
encourage people.
Safer. Yeah.
We've established a monthly farm safety newsletter, and I'm thrilled with how that's going. It's getting around 1,500 reads per month, and there's 6 editions in. Through the newsletters, we're doing as much education as we can. We're also filling a lot of knowledge gaps. Our mission is not just to do consultancies or audits, it's to educate and support. And the other thing we provide as part of the program, Making Our Farm Safer program, is what are referred to as farm safety walk and talks. Now, that's where a farmer could avail their farm to us with a few of their neighbours, and we would go and meet with them as a group. We could shoot the breeze on broad-ranging safety issues for a half hour, 40 minutes or so, and then do a walk-around as an indicative sort of walk-around of what we might see. But then we'd probably be saying to those other farmers, get us to the dining table. We're very keen to engage with regional networks such as Landcare groups and CWA groups and other farming groups that are in the regions. We'll make ourselves available to attend those as well. We have way too many deaths on farms. When we see quad bikes, side-by-side vehicles and tractors, well, then we have to be clear with farmers. You must fit OPDs on your bikes. You must put the PTO guards on your tractors. You must ensure that workers are wearing the seatbelts when they're riding the side-by-sides. That's the education piece. So it's, it goes part and parcel with the work we're doing.
You're doing an amazing job, John. I thank you very much for spending a bit of time with me today and enlightening me and our listeners on safety on the farm and the free audits and consultancies you do for farmers everywhere in Victoria.
Thank you.
That was John Darcy from the Making Our Farms Safer team. You will find, as always, contact numbers and details in the notes attached to this episode. And while you're at it, please give us a star rating. We'd also love to hear your comments and suggestions. Our Facebook and Twitter details are in the notes. Until next, have a healthy life, won't you?
Farmer wants a healthy life.